This is TalkLoudRadio.com.
What is going on, guys? All right, welcome to the Armchair Fantasy Show, episode 30, presented by TalkLoudRadio.com. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. You can follow the show at TalkLoudPodcast on Twitter. We are streaming live on Facebook every Tuesday night at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. And, of course, we are streaming in the Going for Two app. Tonight, we have a great show. We have a new guest coming on tonight. Nick Spartz of the Beer Fueled Fantasy Show as a co-host of that show. You can find them on Twitter at Beer Fueled FF. Nick, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing fantastic. Great to be on.
Glad to have you. Glad to have you. I know me and you are part of a little bit of a Twitter community with a bunch of fantasy guys, and it's good to get one of those guys on the show and just talk some fantasy football in June, man. Gotta love it.
Yeah, we do this year round at Beer Fueled FF, so we appreciate getting it kicked off here in June.
Good deal, good deal. If you want to just quickly give us my listeners a little rundown of what it is y'all do and how long you've been playing fantasy and anything else you want to talk about.
Well, we've been doing the show here for about 14 months. We started in April of 2017. We're just finished episode, I believe, 136. Cool. So we've been cracking out 2 to 3 episodes a week for over a year now. We cover dynasty and redraft content. We're kind of starting to transition more into the redraft side of things as we get into June here. But we spend a lot of time covering rookies in the offseason, so we don't leave you. And you can find us all over the place. We're on YouTube and Facebook at Beer Fueled Fantasy Football, Beer Fueled FF. We're on Untappd and Instagram as well, so we can drop beer reviews and can art for you. So yeah, any place you want to find us, we're basically there for you.
Good deal, man. Glad to hear it. Y'all are the professionals compared to me. I'm a little bit of an amateur here at this podcast thing. I've been doing my website since 2015. Podcast is it's been around for about 2 years, but I haven't been quite as consistent as I wanted to be. I finally started getting consistent every Tuesday. Now I put out a show, but I listened to your show, and I tell you what, one thing I was impressed, and I know people at home probably don't realize this, how hard this is. I don't think you said one time during the entire show, and that's just, it's hard for me to do. I think I say about 100 times a show, so kudos to you, man. That's a great job there.
Practice helps, man. Practice helps.
Definitely, definitely. All right, man, so we're going to be introing that to the, sorry, getting a little tongue-tied here. We're going to be previewing the AFC and NFC North divisions here from a fantasy perspective. I know you said you've just did the AFC North on your podcast, and you also recorded the NFC North, which is going to be dropping tomorrow. So convenient that you're going to come on my podcast and kind of talk about it before you actually did yours. So good stuff there.
Yeah, you made the homework easy for me.
Definitely. All right, well, we'll start in the NFC North. I just recently put out my article of a preview of the NFC North as well. So I got some notes that I want to take from that article. But start here with the Packers, because I think they've got sort of the most interesting sort of camp battles that you're going to want to watch going into the season. With the first one here being, who is the number one running back on this team? Is it Aaron Jones? Is it Jamal Williams? Is it Ty Montgomery again? Do we know? Like, what's going on with this running back situation?
All right. Well, in my prep, I didn't get quite as carried away as you did. I didn't write 2,500 words. but looking at this, I just don't see any way that this gets to be anybody who gets more than maybe a 40 or 45% market share outside of an injury happening. So I'm looking for value. Currently, Montgomery's going last at 9-12, and I think he's actually honestly going to be a great PPR play. So he's the one I'm probably targeting. I do agree with ADP, though, that Jones going at 7-04 is the most likely home run hit if you're going to actually get a stud out of here. I'm just not betting on it, though. I'll take Montgomery at the cheapest.
Gotcha. So you're going with the value. You think Jones wins the job as far as the shares there. maybe 60-40 or whatever it may be, or 55-45.
I don't even think it's going to be that high. I think Williams won't go away, so I think it's probably a 40-30-30 split.
Wow, okay. So yeah, Montgomery would be the value there for sure, going where he's drafted. I was of the mindset that Jones does get this job because he is, like you said, he is more of the home run hitter, and I see them using Montgomery as more of the old Randall Cobb role. Aaron Jones, it seems to me like he has the big play ability that Jamal Williams doesn't have. But you're right. I mean, they got three, you know, pretty good backs, two good running backs, one good converted wide receiver. The Packers are going to want to spread the ball around. You know how Aaron Rodgers does. So I think that you're right. They're probably going to be like a 40-30-30, something like that with that. And I agree. Montgomery's position with his ADP is probably the biggest value there for sure.
Yeah, if somebody gets hurt, this gets a lot more interesting. But with three bodies there, I'm generally going to be avoiding or going for value.
Definitely. All right, the other one that's going to be kind of interesting to watch going into the season is their number three receiver position. Of course, Jordy Nelson is gone, so that means Davante Adams steps into the number one role. Cobb is still there, probably plays the number two, might play a little bit of slot in three wide receiver sets. But who wins number three? I mean, there's like seven guys basically going for this position. Who do you think wins this position?
My initial odds are going to be on Allison. He knows the offense. Roger likes to build rapport with his wide receivers. I don't think it's going to be a super valuable position, though, because with Montgomery catching a lot of passes, with them bringing Jimmy Graham in, Allison might be fifth in targets on this team, coming in around 70 or 75. I'm just not quite sure how valuable that'll be overall. If I'm betting on a dark horse, my money's on Jamon Moore. He's a big possession receiver type guy, very strong, runs through tackles well. So if I'm betting on a rookie, I'm going to go with Moore.
All right, fair enough. I know before the draft, before this actually happened, I think everyone had St. Brown. I can't say his first name, but they had him pretty high in rookie rankings. And then, of course, the draft happens, and the Packers take two receivers before they actually drafted him. Where do you think he ends up here? Do you think he just goes special teams? Do you think he, you know, even makes the team at all at this point?
He needs an attitude adjustment or he's not even going to make the team. That's why he ended up going in the sixth round, is apparently he was telling teams he wouldn't play special teams for him. He was not doing well in practice at Notre Dame or not putting 100% effort forward. So it's a lot of just issues there where if he doesn't get his head on straight, he's not going to make this team and he's going to have trouble finding a spot in the NFL. If he can get his head on straight and start getting into shape, I think he can develop into something. I just don't expect it to be this season. I think coaches are going to be struggling to trust him at first.
Yeah, I agreed 100%. I think I looked at the ADP for Dynasty rookie drafts, and he's still actually higher, you know, higher in ADP than Jamon Moore is. So that's kind of interesting to think that people still think that he can be something. I just thought it was kind of an interesting point there that I think you're right. I think Montgomery does kind of cut into that third receiver role, maybe even playing the third receiver in some sets. I'm not as worried about Jimmy Graham, and I wrote this in my article. Aaron Rodgers has only had one tight end finish in the top 10 in his entire career. I know he had Jamarcus Finley for a bunch of those years, and that was the one season in 2011 when he had a top 10 tight end. Rodgers just loves throwing to his receivers. I think a lot of the plays are run for the receivers, those quick little screens. His tight end is almost an afterthought a lot of times in this offense. And I think Graham will be good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that he's going to be a bust in Green Bay. I just don't think he's going to be quite as much as everyone's expecting him to be. I think he fits into this offense better than he did in Seattle. He'll be a touchdown threat, obviously a red zone threat, but I don't think he's going to be a high volume guy. What do you think of that?
If we're going to jump to Jimmy Graham here, I think he's mostly going to be a red zone specialist. I don't think he'll see a ton of work in between the 20s, but he'll still probably pull 70 plus targets, which is enough to limit that third receiver spot. I like Cobb and Adams a ton. I'm just not as confident in the third wide receiver a la James Jones or something from a previous season. Graham should still sneak into the top 10 just based on touchdowns alone. It may be, you might have some weeks where he's dropping zeros on you though, so it'll probably be pretty frustrating.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think I want to own Graham in any league. I know he's going pretty high in ADP, especially in the redraft leagues that I've done mocks for already. And I just don't think I can spend that much money on a tight end in this offense. I think they're going to spread around so much that, you know, the only person that's going to be really, really valuable is going to be Davante Adams, I think.
I think Cobb will probably be fine in PPR.
Agreed. I actually have him as one of my bounce back candidates. I think he, with Aaron Rodgers this year, fully healthy, I think he definitely steps up and has a bounce back season over what he did last year. Of course, all this is predicated on the quarterback being healthy. What are you hearing about Aaron Rodgers? You think he's going to be healthy for the season? You think he's good to go?
Everything I'm hearing, he's perfectly fine. Not at all worried about him in that regard. Only note I have on him is he's still going too high. He's coming in at 402 in front of guys like Allen Robinson, Alshon Jeffrey, Jay Ajayi, all players I'd rather take than a quarterback in a one QB league.
Definitely agree. I'm a wait on quarterback kind of guy. And that's just, I think I've owned Aaron Rodgers once. And actually I took this huge risk the year that they went like 15-1 or 14-2, whatever it was. I actually drafted him number one overall, and actually went nearly undefeated my whole entire season. First playoff game is that game he played against the Chiefs where he had a stinker basically, and I ended up losing that year. But I took a risk going number one overall. I'd never do that again, I don't think.
Yeah, only time I've ever owned Rodgers is trading for him. I've never drafted him.
All right, good stuff. All right, let's move over to the Minnesota Vikings. Of course, they were the one playoff team out of this division last year. Because of injuries to Rodgers, they didn't quite make it, and the Lions just kind of missed it just a little bit. But the Vikings here, so the biggest storyline here is going to be Dalvin Cook. You know, he's going pretty high right now. He played for four games last year. He was kind of a beast, but then he got hurt. Is there any chance that he comes back and he's not the same guy that he was last year?
He's already come off one ACL injury in high school and learned how to recover from it, and he was fine at Florida State after that injury. I'm not at all worried about him. He was ninth in points per game last season. He's my number nine running back coming into this year. My only real concern would be is if they throw a little bit more with Cousins, but then I think Cook just gets it in the passing game, so I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, I agree 100% here. I think Dalvin Cook is going to be Dalvin Cook. No worries there. I think the dreaded ACL and those injuries now aren't quite as what they used to be. Technology now has gotten to the point where these guys can come back. He saw Adrian Peterson come back, I think, in 8 or 9 months. Now, granted, that was like a Herculean effort there, but I think overall, I think if you get almost a full year to recover and you're a pretty good, you know, guy in the gym and recovery, I think you can definitely come back from an ACL with no issues. And I agree. I think his ADP is right where it should be.
Yeah, it's not like he got a week 13 tear or anything. It was week 4. There was a bye week after that. So he's going to have it's about 11 months. He should be fine.
He should be fine. Agreed. All right. So you mentioned they might throw a little bit more with Kirk Cousins. What are your thoughts on Kirk Cousins in this offense? You think he just steps right in and basically picks up where Case Keenum left off?
So try not to be too much of a homer here as a Vikings fan. but Cousins is my number 5 quarterback coming into this year. He's already been consistently a mid QB one for the last couple seasons. And now he comes into Minnesota with Diggs, Thielen, and Rudolph, easily the best weapons he's had coming in as a quarterback. And then on top of it, his offensive line should be better than the absolute injury riddled mess that Washington had last season, where he still threw for 4,000 yards and still finished as a top 7 quarterback. So yeah, he's my QB 5 and I'm very, very comfortable taking him.
All right. So you're pretty high on there. I think the guys on Facebook Live are kind of freaking out. You got him at 5, but I can definitely see it. I mean, I live here in Washington, so I've seen him for the last few years and I've seen what he can do with almost nothing basically. Cause I mean, they lost everyone. I mean, they're like on their third, fourth, fifth string running backs in some cases. One of the things that I wrote in my article was kind of interesting is Kirk Cousins is one of the top rated quarterbacks on play action passes. And he didn't have a run game last year. So to think of, you know, play action passes are working for him. It helps him get his timing down. When he goes to Minnesota and he's, you know, play action passing to Dalvin Cook, it's a whole different story because you got to respect that a little bit more. So if he can continue that quarterback rating of play action passes, I mean, he can have a huge, huge season. The only thing I'd be worried about a little bit would be, you know, here he's kind of a volume quarterback because they were always playing from behind. You know, they didn't have a running game, so he had to throw a million times a game. Is if, you know, in Minnesota, if they play more of a ball control, if they get the lead, you know, he's handing off to Dalvin Cook a lot more, if that can hurt his overall fantasy numbers. But I think I got him, I believe, at quarterback 7 or 8. I'm not quite as high on you, but I think he'll definitely be good this year for sure.
Yeah, there might be some limitation where he won't drop any 30 plus, 40 plus win you the week type games, but I think he's going to be a real consistent 18 to 25 type quarterback week in and week out.
Definitely. Not to throw you a curveball here, but what receiver do you think has the better rapport with Kirk Cousins? You think that he's going to be the underneath to Thielen, or you think he's going to be to Diggs? What do you think the dynamic there is going to be?
I think he's going to love both, but Diggs is the guy I'm putting all my chips on this year. He's my wide receiver 12 in my rankings right now.
Good stuff. All right. So speaking of receivers, you had a receiver you all drafted quite high in the NFL draft a few years ago, and he's done absolutely nothing for his career. I've heard him in the news now running in 3 wide sets. He may or may not get that spot as the third receiver, but Laquon Treadwell, what are your thoughts on him and will he ever be relevant?
They probably try to shift him into more of an outside possession type receiver running that Z formation. He might get up to 40, 50 targets this year. In terms of fantasy relevancy, there's nothing there with Diggs, Thielen, and Rudolph in the pecking order in front of him. There's just not going to be enough targets going his way until he leaves Minnesota or an injury to Diggs or Thielen.
Yeah, I agree. I think that even with him running in three wide sets, he may end up as the fourth receiver on that team. Who knows? I kind of like always, whenever I bring up Treadwell, I like to go back to a podcast that I had a few years ago where I got into an argument with a guy who came on. He was a he was an expert basically on rookies, and he was arguing with me that Treadwell was going to be the better rookie over Sterling Shepard. And I was kind of, you know, beating the drum of Sterling Shepard that whole offseason. And now I kind of want to go back on his show and be like, see, I told you. But you know how it is. And sometimes you have a call that hits, sometimes you don't. But that's just one that stayed out to me because, I mean, he was adamant about Treadwell being the next big thing. So he missed on that one.
I mean, and Treadwell could still develop. He's only 22. There still could be something there. This is just not the year to be going looking for it right now.
Agreed. All right, so my team is the 49ers. As everybody knows that watches Facebook Live, I wear the hat. I got the beer koozie. And we signed Jerick McKinnon to a huge contract. I know that the coaching staff there wasn't super high on McKinnon. They let him walk. But do you think this offense is going to miss a back like Jerick McKinnon being there?
They will. For fantasy purposes, it's actually fantastic that he's gone because it clears it up as Cook with Murray being a strict handcuff. The offense is going to miss McKinnon. He's an incredibly dynamic player. I don't know that he can be a true running back one with 250 plus touches in a season. So I'm still have some questions on that. But in terms of what he can bring to an offense, yes, the Vikings will miss him. They just couldn't afford to pay him what he was going to get paid.
Yeah, agreed. And I think we almost overpaid him on purpose. I think that we just definitely wanted to get a running back in there. And I think we overpaid because we had so much cap space. Why not? But yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be tough for him to be an RB1. I think that we've got a good stable of running backs there in San Francisco that we can sort of maybe limit his touches. I know they're talking about him getting all over the field and touching the ball a million times, but I mean, I think we even saw in Minnesota that he's an injury risk, and who knows if he can even hold up to that sort of, you know, abuse.
Yeah. I mean, he's a combine freak and he put up, well, I think it was like 30 bench presses at 205 pounds, but he's still 205 pounds. There's only so much wear and tear a guy like that can take.
Definitely. Definitely. All right. So Adam Thielen has been sort of a breakout with Case Keenum there. Is there any chance of regression here? Does he take a step back with Kirk Cousins or do you think he continues to move forward?
He kind of had some special magic with Keenum. I watched every single Vikings game as a Vikings fan, and there'd be certain plays where you'd see Keenum getting hit, throw the ball up as a desperate heave, and somehow Thielen would be there to make the play. I don't know that magic continues. So I think he probably regresses into a mid wide receiver too. He'll still be a hell of a player. The things that make him really good are not going to go away. I think you probably just see a little bit more of some of the volume move over to Diggs and Rudolph and Cook. So he drops down a little bit.
Yeah, I think Rudolph gets a huge bump because I know Kirk Cousins loved his tight ends when he was here in Washington when they were healthy. So I think Rudolph, especially in the red zone, I think he gets a big bump there, I think, for sure.
Yeah, and Thielen has never been a big touchdown guy. He only had 4 touchdowns last season.
Yeah, he's been the volume guy, right? He's a PPR monster, basically.
Yeah, it's been Diggs and Rudolph over you two touchdown guys.
Right. All right, let's move over to the Chicago Bears now. They made quite a bit of moves, probably the most moves of any team except maybe the Cleveland Browns. Of course, they changed coaches. They got a bunch of pieces around Mitchell Trubisky. They, of course, got Allen Robinson, and they got Trey Burton. They still got 2 pretty good running backs. Is it possible, or do you think that Mitch Trubisky could be this year's Jared Goff or Carson Wentz, a sort of a second-year breakout quarterback?
I think he definitely takes a jump up, and I've got him ranked as a back-end quarterback too, but it's a situation where there's just so many good names in front of him right now, and he's got to develop rapport with all new weapons. There's nobody coming back that he's worked with before outside of Cohen and Howard. So you kind of got to rebuild this from scratch. And I think they are going to try to go as more of a run first team, but without the true power that you saw there out of Todd Gurley with the Rams. So I don't think he can quite make a QB1 type jump. I think he's going to be a QB2. it's going to be a nice step forward, and I'm really excited for Trubisky long term. Just not as big of a jump as we saw to the other two.
Gotcha. Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that I think the Bears will run the football quite a bit. You know, they got two pretty good running backs there. You know, one's a receiving back, one's more of a power back in Jordan Howard. So I think that they're going to want to, you know, sort of limit his pass attempts. But he's got some good weapons there. I think you're right. I think he's like a high end quarterback too. Maybe even just a mid quarterback too. Two quarterback leagues, definitely he's draftable. If you're looking at redraft leagues, outside of the, you know, the top 12 guys, if you want a backup quarterback, if you're one of those guys that has to have a backup quarterback, he's definitely a good one to have. But for me, I think he's the same spot for me as a low end or mid quarterback too, or a high end quarterback too.
Yeah, I've been targeting him in super flex dynasty formats to try to get him on my team for that, because I think he's going to grow. But if I was looking at this season, he'd be a streaming watch type candidate for me, not a draft.
Definitely. All right. So one weapon that they added this past season, of course, is Allen Robinson. You know, he had a couple big years in Jacksonville last year. Of course, he tore his ACL early, I think the first game of the season. He seems to be back fully healthy. What are your thoughts of Robinson in this offense? Do you think he goes back to being that monster that he could have been in Jacksonville, or do you think he takes a step back there?
He's the only real proven weapon on this team. Trey Burton has 6 career touchdowns. Anthony Miller's a rookie. Kevin White's done very little. Taylor Gabriel is more of a deep threat. So I think the volume will be there for Robinson. I think he is going to be the primary red zone threat. So he comes in as my wide receiver 15. I think he's going to be very good this year, but he's also got a few question marks for, can he do this on an offense that doesn't have the passing volume that the Jaguars did with Bortles a few years ago. So he's not quite as high as he was a few years ago, but still a solid wide receiver too.
Yeah. I think people forget that year that he had that huge season, a lot of his points came in junk time. I only know cause I owned him, and you know, he'd go 3 quarters and, you know, almost be doing nothing. And then, you know, they're down by 21 points and they just start throwing the ball over the field. He's getting touchdowns in the fourth quarter that mean nothing. So that kind of inflated his stats a little bit. I do think he's still an awesome talent. And I think if, you know, the way that he's going to be used in Chicago, he definitely will be a top 15 receiver. But if you're looking at that season where he had, I think, 1,400 yards and 14 touchdowns, he probably won't repeat that again in Chicago, at least not this season.
Yeah, maybe in a year or two when Trubisky develops into more of a volume passer, I think they'll probably try to keep the training wheels on him a little bit this year. I doubt we see Trubisky throw for over 4,000 yards.
Agreed, 100%. All right, you mentioned a little bit ago the rookie Anthony Miller. Does he pretty much just step right into this number 2 role, or think he's got some competition there with Kevin White or whoever else they have there on that receiving core?
I think he probably finishes number 2 in targets. I'm a big Anthony Miller fan. His college tape is awesome. He's very, very fun to watch, and he's already pretty developed in his route running. The issue is going to be that even if he does finish second in targets, I think there's going to be so much competition for that second, third, fourth role that he's probably looking at about 80 targets. So it's not going to be a fantastic fantasy thing to invest in.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely in redraft. If you're looking at dynasty, I think he's definitely a good pick. Maybe not for this season, but if you're going to get him, stash him, have him for next year. But if you're looking at redraft, I don't think that the number 2 receiver role in Chicago is going to have that much value. But I'm with you. I like Anthony Miller a lot. I don't think there's much competition for him to step in there and get that number 2 role. And speaking of Kevin White, I've heard, you know, reports out of camp that he's been playing really well. He's very motivated, looking good. Any chance that Kevin White has any sort of relevancy in the NFL again, or you think he's pretty much done?
Honestly, given his age, I'm just looking for flashes at this point and him staying healthy. If we see that, he could still develop into something. We've seen receivers develop in their mid to late 20s before and be fantasy relevant. So I'm not leaving him for dead yet, but it's going to be a question of, can he put it together enough that we see something? Not investing anything this year outside of maybe a waiver claim if he starts off hot. But I definitely am taking a look in Dynasty. If he can have a couple good games here this season, flash a little bit for us, I may try to toss a pick on him before he goes to free agency.
Yeah, agreed. I think that the talent is definitely there. It's just his health. And if he can somehow just stay healthy and like you said, flashes, if he can do anything, if he can show us what he was capable of before he got all these injuries, I think that he could be a viable dynasty stash if you've got like a really deep bench or you play in a really deep league. But yeah, I think with redraft league, I'm definitely avoiding him. it'll be waiver wire fodder maybe after the first two seasons or first two games. If he's doing well, maybe I add him. But yeah, for the most part, I'm going to be avoiding him. All right, let's move up to the Lions now. The Lions, they pretty much are a good offense every year with no running game, it seems. They seem to never have a running game. This year, they got this huge logjam now at running backs. They've got they drafted Kerryon Johnson. They got LeGarrette Blount there. Theo Riddick still there. Ameer Abdullah still there. What are your thoughts on this backfield and how it breaks down with the carries and the touches?
So this will sound familiar. I'm going for value again. Riddick's going in the 11th round right now in full point PPR, which is ridiculous. He's a fantastic PPR back. So I'll take Riddick there. Johnson's going at 706, which I actually don't hate because I think he's easily the most talented back in this backfield and could actually wrestle a 50 or 60% volume share as well. So I don't hate it there. But by the time we actually get to drafts, I think that price is going to rise and he'll probably end up as a late fifth, early sixth round pick, which is going to be a little too rich for my blood. And Blount, he's so frustrating to own if it's not that one magical Patriots year that I'm avoiding it.
Yep, agreed. I'm not owning Blount at all either. And I agree, Riddick has some value there at the 11th round pick. No one's touching him. I mean, he's a PPR guy, and no one's even drafting him. I think he'll be good. And you're right, Kerryon Johnson is kind of interesting because he came out actually at one point and said that he didn't think he was a three down back. And then the Lions come out maybe a few weeks later and said that they view him as a three down back. So it's usually the other way around. Usually the team's saying, no, you can't do it all. And the player's like, oh, no, I can do everything. And this is a situation where the player's like, no, I'm a first and second down back. And the Lions are saying that he's a three down back. So kind of interesting dynamic there. But with the seventh round, I think I love him there. If he comes up to the fifth round, like you said, by the time we draft, that might be a little bit steep for my blood. But I like him a lot in the long term for Dynasty.
Oh, yeah, I love him in Dynasty. He's kind of in the last of the top eight backs, but the top eight backs in this class are really, really good.
Agreed. All right, Kenny Golladay sort of burst onto the scene last year. I think in his week one game, or maybe it was week two, I think he had like two touchdowns and then sort of did nothing the rest of the year. Is he going to be a breakout this season, you think, or is he 1 year away from that?
I think we're still 1 year away. Him and Marvin Jones are such similar players, and Marvin Jones is going to be 100 to 110 target type volume. So that's going to keep Golladay in that 70 to 90 range, which probably limits him a little too much for fantasy, especially with his deep threat profile where you're really hoping for touchdowns to get your points. So I think we're still a year or two away on Golladay until as long as Marvin Jones is there.
Yep, agreed 100%. And I think one of them will be gone next year, either Tate or Jones. I can't remember which one of them. One of them is going to be a free agent, and one of them's got a huge contract that's due to him next year. I don't have the go ahead.
Tate's the free agent. Jones is the one with the big cap hit.
Gotcha. Yep. I knew it was one or the other, and I couldn't. I think one of them will definitely be gone, if not both of them. It's quite possible that they get rid of both of them. But I think one for sure is definitely gone. Speaking of Marvin Jones, I think last year was his career year. You know, he kind of broke out finally after, you know, a couple years in Cincinnati showing flashes and, you know, in a couple years in, as a line with flashes. But had a huge season last year, 9 touchdowns. Can he repeat that season this year, you think?
I don't see him doing 9 touchdowns on 108 targets again, and I don't see his target share going up by much. I think he's probably more of a 6 or 7 touchdown guy this year.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, and I've watched a lot of these games. So I actually own Marvin Jones in my Dynasty League, so I kind of watched some of the games, and some of the touchdowns he caught were just ridiculous. Like, I mean, over the top, twisting your body, getting your feet down kind of touchdowns. And I mean, he kind of amazed me in that sense that he has that kind of body control. But yeah, I agree. I don't think 9 touchdowns is going to be a possibility, especially now if they do have that good running game. There'll be more runs in the red zone than there'll be passes.
Yep. And Golladay should be healthy this year. Remember, he missed half of last season. I just don't see that type of touchdown volume for Jones. I still like him. He's still going to be a solid wide receiver too, just not a fringe wide receiver one like he was last year.
Definitely agree. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Matt Stafford. I know every year he seems to be that guy that every, you know, fantasy expert is saying, you know, you can wait and get Stafford in these super late rounds. He always seems to be underdrafted. I went and looked, and he's been a top 10 QB every year since 2011, except for 1 year. Why is Stafford so underrated? Like, why does he get drafted so late?
I think because he's kind of quiet in his production. He always sneaks into the top 10, but it's never a top three finish, or he never puts up multiple 30, 35 point games like Watson, Rodgers, Wilson, where they're catching headlines. So I think it's just a lack of publicity for him. I love it though, because I've taken Stafford in multiple leagues every single season for the last 4 or 5 years, and he's won me multiple championships. So I'm happy with him being underrated.
Yep, agreed. I've done the same thing. He's usually one that I recommend that, you know, you can wait for him, you know, forever, really, it seems. You can wait for him until everybody else is pretty much off the board. And he's just consistent each week. I mean, he's not, like you said, he's not the flashy, you know, Aaron Rodgers where he can give those huge, huge games, but he's just going to be consistent every week. I'm a little worried about it having the running game there if he's going to have less volume, but I think overall, I think he's still a top 10 QB, maybe a fringe top 10 QB, maybe top 12 this year. But yeah, I definitely love me some Stafford this year.
I mean, just for his consistency alone, because a lot of the other guys I have behind him, I have some question marks on, he still comes into my QB 7.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You can't beat that. Definitely can't beat that. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we will tackle the AFC North.
Three shows, one podcast. The Talk Loud Radio podcast combines sports, nerds, and pop culture with the Pay Me No Mind show. Just down-to-earth sports and entertainment. The Clash of the Nerds Let's Podcast show. The latest movies and video games with a dash of comedy. And the Armchair Fantasy show. Eat, sleep, fantasy sports. Find Talk Loud Radio on all the major podcast services like iTunes and Stitcher at talkloudradio.com and streaming on the Going for Two app for iOS and Android. Talk Loud Radio, where sports, nerds, and pop culture collide.
Do you need advice for your fantasy football team? How about your DraftKings or FanDuel lineup? GoingForTwo.com has you covered. GoingForTwo.com has exclusive content from some of the best fantasy writers in the industry, whose credentials include Bleacher Report, Fantasy Pros, and Fantasy Life. From advice columns to player ranks, GoingForTwo.com has it all. Sign up for our newsletter to have all of our content sent to your inbox. Start winning today. Visit goingfortwo.com because no one remembers the extra point.
All right, and we are back with Nick Spartz of the Beer Fueled Fantasy Podcast Show, and we just got done covering the NFC North, and now we're going to move to the AFC North, and we'll kick it off here with the Steelers. All right, Nick, so Le'Veon Bell right now is a big story, of course, is he's planning to hold out, and he's on a franchise tender, and you know, will he play on it? Will he won't play on it? Is he going to hold out through the entire offseason? But going into next season, let's look a little bit till next season. Is it possible that they get James Conner, the backup running back there, some more work this season, knowing that likely if they don't get Bell signed to a long-term contract that he won't be here next season?
I think they might do a slight uptick in James Conner's touches this year, get him up to the 50-60 touch range just to get him more of an audition and see if they have something in him. But Bell is just going to get fed. I could see him easily hitting 450 touches this year as they just run him out of gas before they send him packing after this season.
Agreed. I think that they're going to view him as like, okay, we got you for 1 year. We're going to use the hell out of you for this season. And then, you know, next year we'll ship you off to whoever wants you. But any chance you see him signing a long-term contract?
I could see him signing one, just not with the Steelers.
Fair enough. Yeah, I agree. I don't think the Steelers are going to sign him for that amount that he's looking for. all right, so now let's move to the receiving core here. Of course, you got the superstar that is Antonio Brown. But on the other side, you got the sophomore Juju Smith-Schuster, who broke onto the scene last year. Any chance of a sophomore slump with him? I know he's being drafted, I think, top 15 receiver. What do you think of him?
So when I checked on Fantasy Football Calc, he was at wide receiver 19 at 408. That's honestly about right where I have him. I got him as my wide receiver 20. Few players I like that were going after him, like Alshon Jeffrey and Golden Tate, though. So I'd probably prefer him more of as a back end four instead of a middle four, but that's not too far off. And I don't think there's any chance for a slump. He showed us something real last year, and Roethlisberger's going to keep throwing it to him.
Yeah, I agree. I top 15 is a little bit pushing it for me. I think I looked at Fantasy Pros, had him as the top 15 when I looked at it. If he's going down to 19, 20, I like that a little bit more than the top 15. Hopefully, as we get closer to draft season, we don't see his draft stock go up, because I do want to own him in some of my redraft leagues. I think he's going to be an excellent addition to that offense, and he'll be what Martavis Bryant should have been but never could actually do. So I love me some Juju.
Yeah, he's just a more well-rounded receiver overall, too, than Martavis ever was.
Agreed. All right, so Big Ben, you know, there's talk all this offseason that he may retire. He's actually mentioned it a few times. With his final year looming, are we stashing Mason Rudolph in Dynasty? Are you looking at keeping him on your bench?
If it's super flex or 2QB, any decent prospect that's a backup quarterback, I will take a look at owning. One quarterback, not even considering it. Ben's going to be there for at least two or three more years, it looks like. I'm not holding a backup quarterback for two or three more years, especially one I'm not that interested in, like Mason Rudolph. His arm talent really scares me. I don't think he's ever going to really make it as an NFL quarterback.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I know everyone that listens to this podcast knows this, but I'm not a huge college guy. So anytime I get sort of any college insight on some of these guys and what you think of them, it definitely helps me because I don't watch much college. I don't learn about these guys until they get into the pros. So for me, you know, seeing Mason Rudolph drafted to the Steelers, I'm like, okay, he must be the next thing. But if you're telling me that he doesn't have the good arm talent and all that good stuff, so I think I'll be avoiding him as well.
Yeah, he's very accurate, but he floats balls when he throws them deep, and he's very immobile, so he doesn't have a lot of athletic ability to escape pressure.
Gotcha. All right. Mason Rudolph is off my dynasty list.
I just wouldn't want to hold a one quarterback format, hold somebody that's not going to do anything for me for that long either.
Yep, that's true, because you're right. I mean, Big Ben's talked about retirement, but he could very well play next two, three seasons, and you'd have a guy sit on your bench doing absolutely nothing for you. That's a good point. All right, let's move over to the Cincinnati Bengals now. Where do you fall on this Joe Mixon breakout narrative? I know where I kind of talked about it already, but I want to hear your opinion. Where do you fall on this?
He's my number 14 running back. I am buying into the breakout. He was my number two running back in the 2017 running back class, which we've already had multiple players blow up out of that class. They've done a lot to fix the offensive line. This offense should be more dynamic this year, which should allow Mixon to have a much better season. And if you watched Bengals games last year and looked at the tape, he was doing some great things. It was just the stats were terrible. So I'm waiting to see if he can kind of turn some of those flashes we saw last year into some consistent production, but I am betting on it, and I'll probably own him in a few places.
Fair enough. I'm actually on the other side of that. I actually hate some Joe Mixon right now. Maybe that's because I didn't watch a bunch of Cincinnati Bengals games, and I'm looking at the stats and going, he averaged, I think, 4.3 yards per carry, or it may even be less than that, 3.9 maybe.
It was like 3.8, I think. It was not pretty first if you looked at stats.
Yep, and that's what I'm basically looking at. So maybe if you're telling me that you look better on tape, maybe I need to go back and watch some. I have Game Pass, so I'll go back and watch some old Bengals games and see what it looks like. But yeah, I just haven't been buying the hype on him. And you know, you could be right. I mean, he's definitely got the talent. I think he came into the league as one of the top, you know, prospects for the running back. Everyone loved him coming into last season, and maybe he breaks out this year. I haven't been able to be convinced yet that he is going to have that breakout season, and I'm avoiding him in most of my redraft leagues.
I mean, he might be going a little bit too high if you're having any sort of concerns about him, but as a early third rounder, which is where he's going, I'm happy with him, and I'll gladly take him there.
Fair enough. All right. Is there any receiver on the Bengals not named AJ Green that interests you? Is there, you know, John Ross, Tyler Boyd, any of these guys going to finally get it together and have a good season?
All right. So in the first year of our podcast last year, we invented something called the Brandon LaFell rule. And this is when all the Bengals were injured outside of Brandon LaFell and AJ Green. So Brandon LaFell became a start every week just based on pure volume alone. But with everyone healthy again, there's too many bodies for me to care about any of these guys. So unless somebody starts getting injured or somebody gets cut, none of these guys raise the needle for me at all. John Ross is an interesting dynasty watch along with Josh Malone. I don't really care about anyone else for a redraft at all.
Fair enough. Let me ask you this question. This is a sidebar. Have you ever seen a receiver drafted in the first round have a more terrible rookie season than John Ross? He had zero catches. He had one carry that he, you know, fumbled basically. So after he got the carry, he fumbled it.
I mean, there's a couple that are close, but in terms of just a pure stats and also just being injured for majority of the season, Ross probably takes the cake.
Definitely. I think we have one of those guys that should be at the top of the list too, AJ Jenkins, for a couple years ago. We took him in the first round and he was terrible. I think he had a total of 5 catches his entire career.
Yeah, Jenkins, Josh Doctson had a terrible rookie season with injuries. There's a bunch of receivers who have done it. I also hated John Ross as a first round pick last year. I thought he should have easily been a second rounder.
I was with you on that as well. I was surprised when they took him, but yeah, I agree 100%. All right, so Andy Dalton, he's been kind of in that same sort of Matthew Stafford role, not quite as good as Matthew Stafford, but he's had a couple years where he's been top 10, kind of slid under the radar a little bit. No one expected him to be a top 10 quarterback. Do you think there's any chance that he sniffs this season, a top 10 quarterback?
I honestly don't, and that's because compared to when he was hitting that top 10 metric, there are so many good passing offenses in the NFL right now that I like more than I like Cincinnati's. So just based on number of bodies he'd have to get over that I think are better passing offenses to get top 10, I just don't think it's going to happen. He might flirt with that back end QB1, so maybe that 14-15 range, but top 10 I think is out of his reach.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think he could be better than he was last year and still rank lower than he did last year just because there is so many different quarterbacks. And, you know, Andrew Luck might come back and be healthy. You know, you got Carson Wentz, you got Jared Goff, a bunch of young guys, Trubisky, not that he's going to be top 10, but he'll be up there in the top 15 maybe.
Yep, Mahomes. Mariota should have a better season. Yep. Well, so many guys.
So yeah, I think Andy Dalton just falls back based on the sheer volume of guys that are going to have good seasons around him. All right, Tyler Eifert, you know, he's been sort of that tight end that, you know, he just can't seem to stay healthy. He's a super talented. Any chance that he finds a way to stay healthy this year and actually has a decent season?
Honestly, not based on where he's being drafted, which is round 10, 11 right now. I like him as a round 12 or 13 dart throw as grabbing a second tight end in a deeper league. If I'm going to say maybe grab a OJ Howard, Tyler Eifert combo and just see if I can make that work if I waited on tight end too long. But not if he's going to be going a little too early for me right now, which is, yeah, round 10, pick 3 is his current ADP. With his back end issues, which he already missed practice today with it, I don't like it at all.
Oh, wow. I didn't hear that news. So, yeah, definitely Eifert would be off my list. Coming from somebody that's had back issues most of his life, I actually had back surgery in 07. Back issues don't just go away. I mean, they just linger and linger and linger, and it's not a good thing to have if you're a pro athlete. All right, let's move over to the Cleveland Browns, who made a ton of moves. They actually look really good on paper. I think if we were playing paper fantasy football, I think the Browns might be a top 10 pick here. But the Browns, can you make any sense of this running back situation? We've got Carlos Hyde. We've got Nick Chubb that they drafted. They just signed Duke Johnson to a big contract. What are they doing here? Who's the running back you want to own here in Cleveland?
In redraft, it's definitely Duke Johnson. I think he gets a 30% split, but it's going to be mostly passing work. So in PPR formats, he should still be solid. And he's going in the 8th round, so that's perfect for the type of value you're looking out of him. Chubb and Hyde, I want nothing to do with unless one of them starts to fall in ADP. Chubb's going at the start of the 9th, and Hyde's going at the start of the 7th round. That's just too pricey considering they're basically copies of each other. I do think Chubb is the more talented one, so gun to my head, if I'm taking one, I am taking Chubb.
Yep, I think I'm with you as well on that one. I think Chubb and Hyde sort of, I think the Vikings kind of did the same thing last year when they got, Dalvin Cook, and they already had Latavius Murray that they had picked up in free agency. It's a little bit different. I think Hyde's a little more talented than Latavius Murray was. But barring injury, I don't think in redraft I'm going with Hyde or Chubb. But you're right. I think Duke Johnson is the PPR guy. I think he gets to, I think his role stays the same basically as it was last year. And he was a pretty good back to own in PPR league. So I think Duke Johnson with where he's being drafted is for sure the back to own.
Yeah. And if you couldn't tell, my strategy in these crowded backfields is almost always take the cheaper pass catcher.
Definitely. I've noticed that. But hey, it seems to work out sometimes too. I do the same thing as well. Because some of those guys get overhyped and overdrafted, and they don't end up being anything. All right, over under Baker Mayfield starting by week 6, not injury related. What do you have?
I don't think we'll see him quite that early, though we will see him this season. My bet is closer to week 10, probably after they lose 5-6 games. It looks like the season's starting to fall away from them. And then we may even see Hugh get fired, and that's probably when Mayfield comes in.
Fair enough. I think I'm going over on that as well. Not quite week 10. I think it's going to be right around week 7, week 8-ish. I just think that that they're not going to be super good. I think you're right. I think they're going to lose, you know, quite a few games. And the pressure to start him is going to be just enormous. And I think that he eventually gets on the field right around midseason. All right. If you only can own one Browns wide receiver, which one do you want? Of course, they got Jarvis Landry there. They got Josh Gordon. Corey Coleman is there. If we're taking out ADP out of it, if you can just own one of them guys, who are you going to own?
Full-point PPR?
Full-point PPR.
Still going to take Landry, even though he's going two rounds cheaper in ADP right now. He's shown it year in and year out that he can be a dynamic player. Gordon hasn't had a productive season since 2014. Even though I like the talent of Gordon, him going in the third round right now, I think is a little nuts. And overall, I think Landry's much safer and much more the type of receiver I'm looking for in those wide receiver two type rounds.
I didn't realize Josh Gordon was going in the third round. My goodness, that's crazy. That's way too high.
Yeah, I agree. I don't want it. I was kind of interested if he was in the fourth or fifth. Third, I'm not interested at all.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I'm with you on Landry as well. I think he's always been a volume guy. And if what they say is true, they want to get him more in some deeper routes as well. That just adds to his value. So I think Landry gets the volume and may get some of the big plays as well. So he's the one I want to own. With that said, I do own Josh Gordon in one of my dynasty leagues. And I think he'll be a decent play as well. But I think if you're just going to pick one of them, it's going to be Landry. All right. Rookie tight end last year, David Njoku, going into his second year. Tight ends typically take the longest to break out. Njoku is a super talented athlete, had a terrible rookie season. What do you think about his prospects coming into year two?
I mean, for a tight end, it was an okay rookie season. He had four touchdowns and about 450 yards, which for a tight end isn't too bad.
Fair enough.
I think he improves on that. I think he gets closer to probably 606 this season, which will get him in kind of flirting with that back end tight end one range that you would expect. So nothing amazing, not going to win you any championships, but it'll be a solid week to week volume play, especially because Taylor and Mayfield both love throwing to the tight end. We have had Charles Clay and Mark Andrews for both of them produce very, very well. So Njoku should have a pretty solid season, just not expecting a true, you know, top 6-7 breakout like we saw out of Ingram last year.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think I'm with you that as well. I think you're right. Tyrod Taylor, you know, loves his tight ends. Charles Clay was always a valuable player when he was healthy in Buffalo. And I think Njoku now plays that same role, and he could be a good play as a low end. I wouldn't say tight end one. Maybe he's a mid tight end two, I guess. All right.
Yeah, kind of in that 10 to 15 range.
10 to 15. Yeah, agreed. He's sort of that just outside of the top 10 kind of guy. All right. The final team that we got up here is the Baltimore Ravens. Their depth chart is sort of a cast off of a bunch of receivers. Michael Crabtree is there. John Brown is there. Willie Snead is there. If I told you that all three guys would play 16 games this season, which one of these three guys do you want?
I mean, this is an easy choice. It's Michael Crabtree, who's proven he can be a solid wide receiver too, as second fiddle over in Oakland for years. Comes into the Ravens where they've consistently featured old receivers and got him 120 plus targets. He's going to take over that Steve Smith type role. He'll be a primary red zone threat. I love him this season, and he's kind of a target guy for me if I go super running back heavy this year.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the reason I put that caveat in there about them being healthy off season is because John Brown has the potential to be a really good receiver. He just can't stay on the field. And Flacco, if he ends up, you know, keeping that starting job and Lamar Jackson doesn't press him for the starting position at any point in the season, Flacco loves the deep ball. And if John Brown can stay healthy and Flacco can get his deep ball back, I think that can be a good combination. But if we're talking fantasy and volume, I think it's Crabtree as well.
Yeah, I would like John Brown if I knew he was going to play all 16 games. He'd probably be a, you know, round 8, 9, 10 type guy for me, and I'd love having him on my team, but still going to take Crabtree.
Agreed. All right, looking at the backfield now, I see a lot of Alex Collins hate. You know, even though he had a pretty good season last year, no one seems to be buying it for the second year, and I see some Kenneth Dixon love. Where do you stand in this situation here with the backfield?
Actually, where they're going, because Collins is going at the 401 and Dixon's coming in at 1406. At their price, I kind of actually like both. Collins is right about where I'd want him at that back end three, start of four range. If I'm grabbing a third running back to have him in my flex, I think that'd be a great position. And I saw enough last year behind a great Baltimore offensive line that he should still produce. Dixon, I think, can be a fantastic change of pace pass catcher and have the chance to usurp this backfield. So at a last round dart throw, I do like Kenneth Dixon for that as well. So I'm actually a fan of both.
Fan of both. Fair enough. Alex Collins, I do like him. I think you're right. Where he's going is a pretty good safe bet. If he gets, you know, starts to rise as we get closer to draft season, I don't want to touch him. Actually, I think I'm avoiding this whole backfield in general. But Dixon as a late round flyer, if I'm taking late round flyer in like the, you know, round 14 or whatever it is, Dixon's as good as any. And I think he has the upside there that could be potentially, he could be a starting running back there if Collins gets injured or just doesn't play as well as he did last season. So I'll take Dixon as a dart throw. Collins, I probably won't own in any of my redraft leagues, but he's fit. He's solid enough that he can go where you're taking him at.
Yeah, if he fell to the late fourth, I'd like it significantly more. But in the early fourth, that's fine. I'll take him.
Fair enough. All right, let's talk a little bit about Joe Flacco. Do you see any scenario in which they bench Joe Flacco for Lamar Jackson that's not injury related?
Strictly because Harbaugh is kind of on the hot seat at this point after a couple disappointing seasons here, and the offense being the main Achilles heel as to why they've been struggling so much, I can absolutely see Harbaugh yanking Flacco if they start losing or this offense becomes the main problem with this team again.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that, you know, Lamar Jackson, they're going to want to see him on the field. The fans are, and the pressure will get too much if the Ravens are, you know, losing games and Flacco's not putting up any kind of huge numbers, which is Flacco, and he never does put up huge numbers. So we can pretty much guarantee that's not going to happen. I think Lamar Jackson could potentially, you know, get, now granted, if they start winning games and even if Flacco's playing poorly, the change won't get made, I don't think. But if they're losing games and Flacco's playing bad, I think Lamar Jackson definitely gets the starting nod here, at least to see what they got in Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, because you have to remember, this team missed the playoffs last year with the number one special teams and the number three defense.
So it's all on the offense, you know, 100% yep. There. So that's a good point. All right, so the Baltimore Ravens, they actually took two tight ends in this past draft. They took Hayden Hurst with their first tight end off the board. Do you think Hayden Hurst has the ability to be the next big tight end in Baltimore that always seems to have a good tight end?
If I'm betting on 2018, I actually kind of like Hurst. I've got him ranked in the mid-teens just because he is decently pro-ready. He can play H-back. He can play in the slot. He can play in the line. So they're going to find ways to get him involved, and I think he's going to get some decent volume this year. Long-term, actually, though, I prefer Mark Andrews. I actually really wanted him to go to Baltimore. So when they took Hurst, I went, well, that dream is dead. So then they proved me wrong and drafted Mark Andrews in the third round as well. So in a few years, I don't like how Hurst projects long term, and he's already 25 years old. So I'm not sure how well he's going to develop at this point. So Mark Andrews is my actually long term pick if I'm looking at Dynasty.
Fair enough. So Hayden Hurst in redraft and Mark Andrews in Dynasty. I like it. All right. Tell us one more time where we can find you. Tell us your podcast and where we can find you on Twitter.
Yep, we are Beer Fueled Fantasy Football. You can find us with that exact name on Facebook and YouTube, Beer Fueled FF on Twitter, Instagram for can art, and Untapped for beer reviews. If you want to jump into a listener dynasty league with us, email beerfueledfantasy@gmail.com with a picture of you either leaving us a review on iTunes, subscribing to us on YouTube, or liking us on Facebook. And if you want to follow my personal Twitter, I am @NickSparts.
Awesome, man. Glad to have you on, and I hope we can do it again this offseason before season starts.
Yep, this is a great format. I'd love to come on the show again anytime.
All right, man. You have a good night. That's a wrap.